What you see before you is the teachers of the youth division. And before I say too much here, I want to, there's a joke among married couples that, and women and men, is that if you want anything done, you gotta have the woman do it. So this guy's kind of sit back and go, oh, there's a little misconception about that, but basically that's the way it is. And in this case, and I don't have to say, this whole event is happening here is because of what Wilma did. That's the way I see it, guys. She contacted everybody to make this happen. We had a nice breakfast for the graduates in the youth division, and get all these guys up here to say a few words. So I was really amazed. So thank you, Wilma, for putting this together. We have an alternating crew here. We have a every fifth Sabbath. I think Daniel Stratus jumps in there for us too, right? And so we do our, and I guess we've been doing the studying the Bible every 2 years, and we've been doing it again, the lessons for the youth. And this is a special time when we are going to say, each of the teachers will say a few words about the particular individual here, a graduate. I'm going to say something about Scott Ginoza. Unfortunately, he's not here. He is at the Hawaii Mission Academy, a baccalaureate service, and he'll be graduating tomorrow. But and his mother's not here, so she can't hear anything I got to say. But I'll tell you, Scott came into Hawaii Mission Academy when he was in seventh grade, and he came into my class. He attended my school from K to six, and I kind of got excited because that's where I went also. And when he started going there, mom asked if I could take him to school every day, and they lived like a block away from us. There's no problem. So I ended up taking Scott to school every day for the next, I think it was 4 or 5 years, and then Melissa came along and we provided transportation for them for 4 years. And then the last 2 years, they've been on their own transportation. And with Scott and the Ginoza kids, they're real quiet, but they're totally respectful kids, and really enjoyed trying to get to know them. It was really hard, but during my class, I felt like Scott was somebody else I was going to try to reach out to. And so as I had him for 2 years, and I realized Scott has a really unique sense of humor. And he's a very smart boy and well-respected by all his peers. And so when he graduated eighth grade, he went to Japan, and he bought me some, I did some tricks in school, some magic stuff just for fun. And he went to Japan, and he bought some games for me to figure out. And so we kind of had that little bond. He's trying to show me some games for him to play. But anyway, I was excited last night when I went to the consecration service to see that he was voted the vice president of his class. So, you know, you never know. You can't give up on people. And I was thinking, boy, Scott has so much potential. And I know he's going to go a long way. So anyway, and he's in charge of a lot of the AV equipment at the academy whenever they have programs. So Mrs. Gonoz and Scott, I wish you were here to hear this. Thank you.
This is such a significant and beautiful step in everyone, all the graduates' life. And I just think about how wonderful it is that we're not the only ones celebrating this occasion. The Heavenly Father is celebrating this as well. And I have the privilege of introducing Damaris Campbell. Damaris Campbell, when I met her, I was so overwhelmed by her inner and outer beauty, and I couldn't remember her name. It was so unique, and I think I asked her 3 or 4 different times what her name was. And her name is so unique, just like her. She's a wonderful girl. I got to meet her and be part of the youth group for 3 years. And she's a very strong and wonderful young lady. And despite adversities, I think she's going to have a wonderful future ahead of her. Oh, I also forgot the credit also goes to Mrs. Campbell and her brother and sisters. Thank you so much.
Diane, would you stand up? Diane and her whole family, all way back there. Damaris wanted to thank you. Keep standing. Where's the rest of your family? Oh, okay.
When we first get children from the eighth grade coming into the youth department, we don't know them very well. And when we see them only once a week, even though it is for the next 4 years, you may not think that you get to know them very well either, but that's not true. Because when you study the Bible together with somebody, and when you talk about the everlasting Almighty God, and when you ask them questions, and when you pray with them, for me anyway, I feel like I bonded with that person. Because, you know, take for instance, I work with people at work, and I see them every day, but I never have the kind of conversation or discussions that I have with my students. And because of that, they are acquaintances. But these kids are special to me. And to the parents of the graduates, I want to say thank you, because your children were very nice children. And even though I had the Bible and the lesson quarterly in my hand, and I was teaching a lesson, they would always say things that, I don't want to say surprised me, but I thought, you know, that is such an interesting way to look at things, because they're coming from the youth side, and they would always open my eyes. And it was a pleasure, and it was fun studying with them and working with them. And I would like to ask Chad to stand up. Chad, I have a lay for you. Chad has been coming to our church for the last 5 years. His mother, Lori, could not be with us today, but he has a brother, Andrew, and on the side, thank you, Andrew. And we are so happy to have them. And Chad, I wish you the best of luck always.
Thank you so much. I have the pleasure of introducing two lifers next. I mean, I got this coin from one of the Kono kids, who said she was a lifer. And I thought, oh, that's really a cute coin, a cute name. But I'm so happy that I have a chance to introduce Peter. Peter, I've known since he was a little toddler. I was very privileged to be his pediatrician until he outgrew me and I retired. So I feel like he was always such a mischievous little boy. He always had a big head, and I knew he was going to go someplace, but I thought he was going to be short. But now he's even taller than me, so I am just looking forward to big things for him. And Peter, let me give you a lay to round it off. And his mother is here. We want to especially give credit to Lori, his mom. And his grandmother is here too, Kay Arakaki. Can you both stand? We have, and Daniel too. Daniel's his brother. Come on, don't be shy. There they are. And of course, his dad, the late Miles Tanaka, is a dear friend of ours as well, and my husband David. Thank you so much. And our last but not least candidate, Marika. Marika, I've known since she was born in this church. She also, too, was a lifer. And I've known her since we used to do Bible studies with her dad. And we get together, and I've had some fun times playing with her as a young girl with her wide-eyed and her beautiful smile and her just a lovely spirit. And I know that she's going to go places, and I'm not going to spoil anything by telling you what she's going to say. But I want to have Marika come up. And Marika, God bless you. And I wanted to give credit to her mom and dad and sister, Chihiro Zavis, David Zavis, and her sister, Luca, who's going to school in Colorado. Can you stand? Of course, you're all the village to all of our graduates, and I want to thank you, too, for supporting them through all these years. And we're going to pray that they're going to come back and still be part of our village, even if they're a distant away, but they're going to add to it by marrying someone, bringing them back here, and having more keikis. So this is our wish. So we'll go ahead unannounced and have them start speaking alphabetically, okay? Thank you.
Good morning. I would like to start by saying I feel truly blessed to have got to be part of this church family. Through the time that I have gotten to know everybody, I have met so many sweet, unselfish, loving, kind people who are very dear to my heart. I would like to thank all of you for always encouraging and supporting me through schooling, my walk with God, and so many other ways. Through my 4 years of private school and 4 years of public school, I learned that Jesus wants to be in your life if you will let him. I feel close to Jesus when I'm in nature, and one day I hope that I'll go to heaven where it's greater than we can ever imagine. I would like to thank Mr. Yu, my seventh grade teacher, for teaching me so much, and I had so many fun times I'll never forget. And Ms. Bocock, my eighth grade teacher, for teaching us all how to make gluten, and you still make the best gluten. I don't know how you make it so good. I would like to thank Gary for giving us, he calls it candy, but it's homework, and always telling us that Jesus loves us. And I would like to thank everybody. I would like to thank all of my Sabbath school teachers who taught me lessons that I'll never forget, life lessons that all through life I will remember. And I would like to thank the people who supported me financially through some of my schooling. And Auntie Wilma, thank you for that wonderful breakfast and everybody who helped make it. It was so yummy. And I would like to thank you for all the countless incredible things that you have done for me and my family and so many other people. You have really been a true auntie to our family. And I would like to say a few words dedicated to the memory of Auntie Diana and Auntie Mealy. They were sweethearted encouragers and great leaders for God. I love you all and hope that you have a happy Sabbath. I would like to close with my favorite Bible verse since I was 7, and that's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. And thank you, Mommy, for everything. I love you and my family.
Happy Sabbath. For those who don't know me, my name is Chad Stewart. I'm 18 years old, and I'm a graduate. Something I was not always proud of to say and thought I could never obtain it, but thanks to all the guidance and everyone's support and God's love, I was able to obtain that. And I have not really spent that long into high school. I transferred into a program which let me do my high school and college at the same time. It was a bit rough, but with God's guidance, I was able to get into construction, do my high school, and I graduated yesterday from construction. And also my high school let me work at gas stations and work as a mechanic. And I learned so much in the past year. And without God's help, I would not be where I am today. And as for my plans, I'll be going to HCC next semester, and I'll be doing mechanics. And hopefully, with God's guidance, I'll be able to become a master mechanic. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Today I'm going to talk about the way this church has influenced me and what I'm going to do in the future. Ever since I was born, I was in this church, and I don't remember exactly what happened at my baby dedication or if I had one, but I remember what the most recent baby dedication was like, and I remember what the pastor talked about. The pastor talked about how everyone in the church would look out for that child and do everything they could to help lead that child towards God. I feel that everyone in this church has stayed true to a promise like that, especially the Sabbath school teachers that I've had over the years. I'm a kind of shy person, so I don't really reach out or talk to anybody in this church, but the Sabbath school teachers have really reached out to me and helped me realize how essential it is to know God, and they've taught me a lot about God over the years. They've taught me to know God in all situations, whether it's good or bad. For me, the best way I learn is through examples, and in this church, there are so many good examples for people that I can look up to because they have such great faith, and I like the way that they live their lives. Everyone in this church has set a great example for me, and I'm grateful for the good influences that I've had in this church. I've learned much about God through all the experience I've had, from cradle roll to primary to junior to the youth division. I've had numerous Sabbath school teachers who taught me much about God and showed me a good example to follow. I didn't know the time, but all the Sabbath school teachers put in so much time and effort into helping lead us towards God. And the Sabbath school teachers have a difficult and important job, and I'm grateful they chose to do that job. I don't remember everything from Cradle, but some of the memories I've had over the years from Sabbath school include when Auntie Nell used to have floating candles during birthdays. I remember going to the Japanese side to go to primary and junior division. I remember how I felt like I matured so much just by moving from primary to junior class. I remember learning and practicing for the Christmas programs. I remember being in Pathfinders and doing all kinds of cool stuff. I remember when Mr. Ryber used to give us $1 for memorizing our memory verse to help us focus on memorizing it. I remember all the coins that we would have to collect when we memorized the memory verse. And all up to now, when the youth divisions has helped me guide me in my future and help me know what I want to be. I'm glad I've had all the experience in this church, and I will take with me what I've learned to the mainland. And what I've learned in Sabbath school was especially important because I never went to a Seventh-day Adventist church, and I went to public school, so I feel like I've come from a different perspective from some of the other kids by going to public school. I graduated from Pearl City High School, and the difference between the people there and the people in this church is huge. Not that there's anything wrong with the school I went to or the people at my school, because a lot of them are my friends, but I think it's good to come from that perspective and that background because I've seen both sides of a coin. That I see the way most people live their lives, and I see the way that the people in this church live their lives. So, and the people in this church is the way I would want to live my life, and the path to God is a clear and better choice. As for where I'm going, I will be attending Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. I believe that the human body is God's greatest creation and is a very complicated machine. But like any machine, it can break down and it needs maintenance. So I've always enjoyed learning about health and the way things work. So I want to be an engineer, but related to the health field. And I'm glad that there is a major where I'll be able to work on projects relating to how the body works and how it can be healed. My career will involve designing and fixing medical equipment, as well as doing research on diseases that affect us. And I'll be going away for a long time, but I'll be back during summers and winters, and I hope to come back again to the same warm and inviting people. Thank you.
Good afternoon, church members and guests. My name is Marie Casales, and I'm a recent graduate of Kalaheo High School. Growing up in the church allowed for a lot of people to walk into my life and had inspired me. From the time when I was a little child in Auntie Sneal kindergarten class to Mr. Yu and Auntie Wilma's fabulous youth class. When I was a little child, I remember each Sabbath I would come and play with the pond. I'd also like to thank Elder Funai and Mr. Yuechi for the fun times during Pathfinders. I'd also like to thank Uncle Gary Yahara for always putting a smile on my face each time I came to church and for reminding me God loves me. I'd also like to thank the entire church to raise me. There's a saying that says it takes a village to raise a child, but in this case, it was a church that was there to help to raise me. My middle school years had been heavily influenced by Mrs. Bocock and Mr. Yu. They helped to mold my young walk with God, and I would like to thank you. Here, I would like to stop and thank Mrs. Diane Campbell for blessing my life abundantly during my middle school years. Throughout my high school career, I had spent the first 2 years at HMA, and I transferred during my junior year to Kalaheo. Freshman year introduced a lot of new things into my life. For example, having chapel every other day and having the new high school experience was all new. My sophomore year opened a lot of new doors for me. During sophomore year, my spiritual journey had really started to unfold. During this time, I stumbled across a saying that had been my spiritual guidance for the time after. This is the Serenity Prayer. Let me share it with you. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. This saying really helped me to lead me to where I am today. My junior year was a true test of faith. I transferred to a new school to where my relationship with God challenged every day. With the steady guidance of the spiritual input of my parents, my faith was never deterred. Senior year was a challenge for me, growing up, finding out, and exploring, and finally realizing what my relationship with God was. For me, senior year was a time where I had decided to live a life for God. Throughout my entire life, I had my parents mold my spiritual life and my relationship with God. I would like to personally thank my mom for raising me with the love that God had shown her, because without this heavenly love, I would not know how to love. I'd also like to thank my dad for always sharing his wisdom with me that God had given him throughout his life. A Bible verse that my dad had always shared with me during my high school career was Jeremiah 29:11. This Bible verse had helped me through many tests and papers. I would also like to thank God for blessing me with a sister who earnestly follows the life of Christ and for setting an example for me since we were young children. In closing, I would like to thank the most important person who had guided me through high school, God. Thank you, Lord, for placing each of these people in my life and for working through them to influence my life life and lead me to where I am today. Thank you, church, for raising me into the person I am today. I truly appreciate it, and I will take everything I learned with me to Hilo. Thank you.
Me and some of my family are going to sing We Will Stand.
The day will come when we will be as one, and with a mighty voice together we will proclaim that Jesus is King, and it will echo through the earth and the world will see that you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no fool that can defeat us. We're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Take me by the hand, join and sing. Sing that you're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no fool that can defeat us. We're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. As long as there is love, we will stand.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Wow. You know, I heard a very interesting statement before I got up this morning to get up on the platform here. And the statement was this, that the devil walks into the church at 12 o'clock. Have you heard this before? Well, I heard this, I just thought it was the funniest thing ever. But it is 12 o'clock, and I was asked to preach a sermonette of about 20 minutes, which I have right here. Church family, do you want to hear a sermon this morning? If not, that's all right. I'll have closing words of encouragement for our young people, and we can move on to the lunch area. But if you want to hear the word of God, 20 minutes worth. All right. So for those of you who are waving your watches right now at me, going, looking at the door, keeping the devil out, we'll pray for you. I'm so pleased to see all of you. And if you actually want to move down, that's fine also. You can sit behind me if you'd like and watch me do my little dance here, but if you want to join the congregation, thank you. Praise God. I've been able to share with our graduates in the youth room, teaching them once in a while, and I've spent quite a bit of time with each of them, seeing them from young children growing up into adults, and it's a blessing and a privilege. I've been able to participate with them in their upbringing, in their lives. And I know God will bless them and continue to guide each of them. This morning, my sermon's entitled 10 Times Better. And I want to share a story from the Old Testament, a story that I think our young people can relate to today, of some young people who were experiencing some change in their life. And I'm going to bring out 3 points from this story that we're going to be looking at this morning about these young men. Now, these young men, if I get my notes straight, I was looking at the second page. These young men, it's a story, if you will, of these young men and their success in the experience that they had. And I think this is important, that the Bible is full of success stories. And we see here these young men being pulled into a very difficult situation of their lives, a difficult time of transition. And we see throughout this turmoil that they have success. God brought them success. And these men, just like our young people this morning, were preparing for their future careers. They had a new start in life, if you will. and they had entered in upon a place, a new environment, with new people, new requirements for their life. They had to learn new terminology, a new language, if you will. They even had to dress differently in this educational system that they had embarked upon. They had to even take different roles in their lives. It was a completely different place. Even the culture that these young men had entered in upon was completely different from the environment that they were raised in. In fact, this new culture challenged their beliefs, challenged the practices that they were raised with. They were taken out of their comfort zone. And this environment that they were in was very, very competitive because everybody wanted to be on top. In some ways, these young men that I'm going to be talking to you about this morning were newbies. They were the outsiders. They were, if you will, the underdogs of this new environment that they were in. Everything was against them, wasn't it? But when we turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, we see the outcome. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20. And I know it's kind of funny. My name is Daniel. But this morning we're talking about the prophet Daniel, a much greater man than myself. Amen? Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20. And the Bible reads here. Is everybody there? Amen. Looking at the outcome of these young men, it says, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." We see these young men in a completely new environment, had to learn all these new things. They were outsiders. But yet they came in here, and God blessed them and made them 10 times better than all of their peers. Now, young people, this morning, my graduates, wouldn't you want that testimony wherever you go and whatever you embark upon, that you were 10 times better? Not just a little better, not just kind of better, not just 1 times better, but 10 times better. So noticeably better in the results of your education that people can't deny that there was divine intervention involved. Wouldn't you like that? Amen. I know, I think most of us would want that or wish that we had had that. But the question we need to ask is how? How did this come about? How was it that this group of young guys, basically, and about your same age, you know, about the same age as you all, how is it they were able to succeed on such a great level? Succeed in such a foreign environment where everything was against them. Again, highly competitive. They were going for some very coveted positions in their government here. How was it that they were able to succeed? Again, this morning I'm going to share with you actually 2 points, looking at the time, of how they were able to succeed. What was able to give them that blessing of God that made them so much more successful? 2 points. Brought up from the text here. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1 again, and we're going to look at verse 3. Something very important, I think, that we need to pay attention to, especially as you embark upon your journey into your education. How to succeed. How to, if you will, glorify God wherever you're at. And the first thing is this. Daniel understood who he was. Daniel understood his identity as a person. This is very, very important. Daniel chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3. It says here, "And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the," who? "Children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes." Who was Daniel? He was part of the children of Israel. And who are the children of Israel? Who is Israel? I know today we know it as a nation, but it was actually a person at one point. And who was he? He had a name before it was changed to Israel, but his name was Jacob. And Jacob wrestled with God one night, and he prevailed. How? Despite the challenge, he held on to God. And at the end of that, at the end of that challenge that he had with God, that trial, God renamed him and said, "Your name is Israel because you prevailed, not only with man, but with God." And he called Israel from that point a prince, the people of God. And Daniel understood that. Who was he? He was a son of God. This is important. Knowing who you are, knowing your identity is crucial, is critical. Because if you don't know where you came from, then obviously you're not going to know what you're doing here. And then you're not going to know where you're going to go afterwards. And so you need to know who you are. And I'll tell you what, if you have a strong identity, if you understand at your core that God is your Father, that God is taking care of you, guiding you, leading you every step of the way, there's some very nice things that come along with that. First of all, you'll have some stability in your life. That's important. You'll have purpose. And the third thing I want to talk about just a little bit, which is super important, is you will have confidence. You will have a confidence in your life that other people will not have if you know who you are. Amen? You know, the people in this world, they base their confidence on a lot of different things. A lot of successful men out there who base their confidence on their abilities, perhaps their years of experience, perhaps their education, their status, their family backgrounds. Some people base their confidence on their style or their charmingly good looks, even their popularity. But what's wrong with basing your confidence on these things? Anybody know? Some of you might be going, "Ooh, that's me." What's wrong with basing your confidence upon your education or your wealth? Young people, do you know? Because at any moment, any of these things can be taken away from you. That's right. We might have a stock market crash. People go poor overnight. You could be in an accident. You could lose your ability to think, your ability to reason, your education, gone in an instant. All of these things that the people of the world base their confidence on are temporal. But if you base your confidence upon something that's immovable, something that's immortal, something that's untouchable, then you will have a confidence that cannot be shaken. Is that the kind of confidence that you want in your life? Young graduates, I'm talking to you, as well as the church family here. Amen? God wants his people to be fearless. God wants his people to be unshaken under circumstance. And the only way that can be achieved is if we know who we are. This morning, young people, do you know who you are? Who are you? If somebody asks, how are you going to answer? Are you going to say, "Well, I come from this family, or I went to that school," or is that who you're going to say you are? Or can you confidently say, "I am a child of God. I am a son of God. God's got my back." Is that what you want to say? Amen. And I know if you have this kind of confidence, it'll be undeniable. And young men, let me tell you something. Young men. The greatest aphrodisiac other than chocolate for a woman is confidence. Amen? I want to hear you say amen, young men. That's right. And I think it's important. When you walk out there into the world, when you walk out there into business, when you walk out there into education, you need to know who you are. You need to know why you're there and what you're doing. And when people see this, it'll be undeniable that there's something special about you. And that special thing is God's got your back. Amen? This is what Daniel and his friends had. They were slaves. The people of Babylon did not like them. They were different. They were strange. They were weird. But they walked in to the courts of Babylon with confidence. because they knew that God was with them. They knew who they were. Point number one, know who you are. You are a child of God. Amen? And I just want to bring out this point. And again, I'm not pressuring anybody. But for our young people, a lot of times we kind of shirk at baptism. And we shirk at that commitment to say that I am a part of God's family. But let me tell you, if you want to receive the fullness of God's Spirit in your life, you're going to have to make that public commitment at some time. And if you're interested in baptism, talk to me afterwards. Talk to one of the elders, and we'll get you prepared for that. Because really, that commitment right there, will change your life for the better. Amen, church family? Amen. I know that I am a different man since I've been baptized. I know that my purpose, my identity, my goals were sealed in the Holy Spirit when I made that decision. And young people, I challenge you with that also. Don't be playing around with God. Let God on your side 100%. He will not fail you. Point number two. I got 5 minutes. Point number two. When we look at Daniel and his experience here in chapter one, there's a second thing that Daniel had that made him successful in the courts of Babylon. Not only did he have a strong identity, but when we look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel had something else that a lot of young people do not have today. It says here, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Daniel knew who he was. He was the son of God. But he also knew that the Babylonians had different practices, had different ideas about God. And Daniel did something before he entered the courts of Babylon. It says here, Daniel did what? In that first sentence. Purposed in his heart. What does that mean, purposed in his heart? This is important. That's right. Daniel had integrity. Daniel, in his heart, in his mind, had drawn a line on certain issues that he would not cross, no matter what. He understood that God had set up these boundaries for his happiness, for his well-being, for his success. And that no matter what happened, no matter what temptation came his way, he was not going to cross that line. And when, in the midst of the court of Babylon, when they had offered him this food and drink, and for those of you who are a little unsure about what the real issue was, the food and drink of Babylon was often offered to idols. And Daniel was not an idol worshiper. And by partaking in the feast there, and of these foods, and of this wine, he would be participating in that worship if he ate it. And so he made a decision that he wasn't going to worship any other gods, even to the point of eating these gods offered to these idols. And so Daniel had some integrity. And he said, the line I'm not going to cross is right here. And Daniel, with all the class and as a gentleman, as you read this chapter, he said no, in a nice way, to the temptation that was put before him. And this morning, young people, my last point, there's actually three little sub-points that I want to touch on really quickly about integrity, is going to be another key to your success. First point of integrity, really quick now, I don't want to spend too much time on this. Sexual integrity. Yeah, that's right. In our world today, our culture today, we teach that it's all right to have premarital sex. Our culture today says it's fine. It's just a part of a relationship that a man and a woman have. Having sex before marriage is fine. You know, look at our sitcoms. Look at our movies. Listen to our music. It is everywhere. But the Bible makes it very clear that that is what? That is sin. And you know, I mean, I don't want to make people feel bad about it, but you know what? That's the Holy Spirit doing that to you. That's what the Bible says. If you have a problem with Daniel, sorry, it's just what the Bible says. But premarital sex is sin. And so many of our Christian young people, perhaps by the pressures of society, the pressures of our culture, pressures of their relationships, have given into this. For whatever reason, they've made that mistake. But this morning, for you folks, keep in mind, there needs to be a line drawn for your protection, for your happiness, in decisions that you make, that you're not going to cross that line, that you will, like Daniel, purpose in your heart not to defile yourself. Young men, the Bible's very clear. It says, abstain from fornication. It says, young men, don't even touch a woman. But this morning, I want to just send a small message to my young sisters out there, that you have quite a bit of power, whether you realize it or not. Some of you do. Some of you toy with guys like that. And I'm not too fond of that. But you have quite a bit of power. And if you forfeit that power to somebody who's not committed to you, if you forfeit that power prematurely, before you find that young man who's willing to sacrifice his life for your happiness, you've done yourself a great disservice. Now keep in mind, God is a merciful God. God gives us forgiveness. And if you've unfortunately crossed that line, it's all right, because God will forgive you. But don't go back to it. Amen? It's a funny song that I was thinking about as I was preparing this sermon. A lot of girls say, well, how do I know if he really loves me? You know? How do I know? If he loves me, I want to know. How can I tell if he loves me so? Is it in his face? Is it in his face? Oh no, that's just his charm. Or his warm embrace? No, that's just his arms. If you want to know if he loves you so, where are you going to find that? It's going to be in his what? No! It's not even in his kiss. No, because that's just his food grinder. That's his mouth. This is the foolishness that we are getting from our culture. It is insane. You really want to know if a man loves you, ladies? Do you really want to know if he cares about you deeply and is ready to make that lifelong commitment to you? Do you really want to know how you're going to find out? If he's just using you for practice or just to satisfy his own physical pleasures, do you really want to know? Tell him, God is my father, and I'm going to wait until a real man comes along who's willing to make a public pronunciation that he's committed to me for the rest of his God-given life. You know what you call that? Marriage. And if that guy is really interested in you, he's going to come back. And he's going to hang around. But if he's not, I guarantee you, you will never see him again. And ladies, that is not the kind of guy you want to be spending time with. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I had a couple more interesting illustrations, but I'm going to move on for time's sake. The second one, and I'm just going to go breeze by this because I think this is obvious, but I just want to bring this out to you folks. Another very important thing that we need to purpose in our heart, young people, is this. Alcohol and substance usage. This is important. You need to purpose in your heart before you go with your friends to the restaurant or to the bar or to the party that, no, I'm not going to participate. And again, like Daniel, you can be very kind and cordial about your no. You don't have to say, no, that's devil drink. No. Because in real life, I mean, you have friends who aren't Christians. You have people you care about who drink and smoke. You don't want to be offensive to them. But at the same time, that doesn't mean you have to participate. I'm going to read this real quick statement here. This is from this is kind of an interesting little thing that I read in the book Temperance. It's about Satan's invention of alcohol. I thought this was really clever. If you ever want to read this for yourself, it's in the book Temperance, page 12. It says, Satan gathered the fallen angels together to devise some way of doing the most possible evil to the human family. Okay?
One proposition after another was made, till finally Satan himself thought of a plan. He would take the fruit of the vine, also wheat and other things given by God as food, and would convert them into poisons that would ruin man's physical, mental, and moral powers, and so overcome the senses that Satan would have full control. Under the influence of liquor, men would be committed to crimes of all kinds. Through perverted appetite, the world would be made corrupt. By leading men to drink alcohol, Satan would cause them to descend lower and lower in the scale. Satan has succeeded in turning the world from God. The blessings provided in God's love and mercy, he has turned into a deadly curse. He has filled men with a craving for liquor and tobacco. This appetite, which has no foundation in nature, has destroyed its millions. Young people, there is pressure. And I'll say this even for myself, and I know many of our church members here do experience that at times. There is a certain level of pressure that comes to you as a young person to participate. But you know what? You can still have fun without drink. You can still be the life of the party without drugs or alcohol. You can still have a good time with your friends. And if you want to know of a nice way to say no or how to weave through those, I have a little experience. And I'll share with you what I do when I go out with my coworkers or spend time with some classmates who aren't Christians. Because yes, we are supposed to do that. We're supposed to mingle with other people, or else how else are they going to experience the love of God? Young people, purpose in your heart to abstain from alcohol and drugs. My third point here, and this is the last point, I promise, and in 5 minutes I'll be done. Your financial integrity. What am I talking about here? Young people, tithing is for your good. Tithing, that's right. I knew a young man at the age of 16 who started to give tithe. I mean, he wasn't making any money, but occasionally he'd get a little money here and there from different things, but started tithing out of maybe selfish reasons. He said, well, you know, the preacher up front said that if I tithe, God will increase me. I could use more money. Started tithing, you know, 10% on whatever, you know, kind of just little cash he made. And it just became a regular habit. But when this young man became a Christian, when he decidedly, when he made that decision to follow God at 18, he said, well, you know, maybe 10% is not enough. And he started to give God more. This young man started to give God up to 25% of his paycheck. Whoa. You know what happened to this young man? He's giving 25% of his paycheck to God. Woo! What happened to this young guy? Hate to say this, but he sleeps in the street now, and he eats out of the garbage can. No, that's not what happened. He gave 25% to God, and the reason why he gave 25% to God of his income, pre-tax, is because he knew that God was taking care of him. Amen? Young people, if you want to see miracles happen, if you want to see how God can work in your life on a paycheck to paycheck cycle, tithe faithfully. You know, some of us, we don't see miracles. You know why? Because we're not challenging God. The Bible says, test me, prove me, and I'll pour out the storehouse of blessing upon you. And you know what? This young man, he's never slept in the street one day of his life. He's never eaten out of a garbage can. But God has provided everything that he has needed. Every single thing. Not just even needs, but all his wants are supplied as well. Anything he wants, God supplies. And I'm not saying, you know, that God will give you $1 million. But when you're faithful to God, and when you tithe regularly, and you trust God, let me let you know, tithing is a spiritual exercise. Amen? You say you trust God? Start tithing faithfully to see how much you trust him. And you start feeling that little fear of, oh, I'm going to make it next month. That's faith. That's real faith. And young people, you're going out there, you're going to get jobs eventually. Be faithful to God. God will be faithful to you.
this morning, Daniel and his friends, three friends, they had these very two important things in their heart. They knew who they were, solid identity. And number two, they had integrity. This morning, as I close, do you want to have the experience of Daniel and his friends? There's an old hymn that says what? For those of you who are old enough to remember the old hymns, dare to be a Daniel. Dare! I don't know the rest part. Two. Come on, Mark, you know this. Stand up. Stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true? Come on, David. Dare to make it known. This morning, do you want to dare to be a Daniel? Do you want to have an identity that cannot be shaken, a confidence that cannot be shaken? Do you want to have integrity that cannot be robbed from you? That's what you want. God can make you just like Daniel, 10 times better. Do you want to be 10 times better, young people? Do you want a life with no regrets, no shame, but glory to God? Trust God. He will not fail you. Amen. All right. Can we have a close?
Father in heaven, we thank you so much again for this blessed Sabbath day, and we thank you so much again that we can recognize our young people as they step out into their lives, their careers, as they start making choices on their own, and their privilege at independence. And we just ask, Lord, that with each step that they'd make, that they would consult you, that they would keep you as their friend, as their counselor, and as their guide. And I know, Lord, that as they trust in you with all of their hearts, you will lead them into a life that will glorify your name and that will be successful. That'll be like Daniel and his three friends. That'll be 10 times better than what the world has to offer. Again, Lord, we thank you so much for hearing us. In Christ's name we pray.